Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
It's like Woodstock, except everybody's got their clothes on.
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Teddy Bridgewater is officially cleared. News came down. Well, the Vikings haven't commented on it yet, but Chris Mortensen reporting, and Teddy Bridgewater tweeted thank you like an hour ago. But Teddy had an appointment this morning down in Dallas, a physical, kind of a last stop. What has it been, a year and a month since the injury, something like that?
Yeah, late September last year, right?
August it would have been. So
about
14 months.
Yep.
And he has been cleared for takeoff, at least to start practicing. So it'll depend on if the Vikings want to activate him from the PUP list, which they probably will, because Sam Bradford can't play and they need quarterbacks.
And it's never dull at Winter Park.
No, it is not. So,
come on! Football!
With that in mind, let's fire up our weekly football observations. College, NFL, wherever you want to take this, why don't you fire away first? Football observations from the weekend.
Okay, I'm going to start with this observation. I owe somebody an apology. Mitch Leidner, I'm sorry. Mitch, you weren't very good. And there were a lot of times that you drove me crazy. And I'll never understand why the Jerry Kill-led staff stuck with you time and time and time again. But Connor Rhoda was not a better quarterback than you, which we both declared. And I apologize for my half of saying that.
The fact that it's a debate is not...
Mitch, you were better because you could at least run the ball. But my observation is this. I do truly believe that the Gophers, while they're not going to be great, and they might not even be through the rest of the Big Ten season that good, I do believe that they have found a quarterback. Demry Croft brought in to Saturday's loss to Michigan State. 11 of 20, 163 yards, 3 fourth quarter touchdowns, yes, one pick, but also probably just as importantly, carried the ball for 31 yards on 7 attempts. He can run the read option, which means when he's on the field, if you're a defense, you at least have to respect it. The Gophers came back and rallied in the fourth quarter. They lost 30-27. But the emergence of the reinstated Demry Croft and the fact that I'm sure my write that down will now come true and he will start on Saturday for the Gophers, Demry Croft at least fits the offense that they want to run.
You're going to have to win in creative ways against some of the opponents you're about to face. And you probably won't beat them. Nebraska's pretty bad. Illinois is pretty bad. But then you get a lot of Wisconsins and tough teams on the schedule.
You could win on Saturday.
You probably should win. I think they're 2 touchdown favorites actually going in.
Lovie Smith, don't care.
One more thought on that. I have no problem. They basically suspended or benched Demry Croft for 3 or 4 weeks. He served a punishment, and now he's back. So for anyone who is maybe going to rip on P.J. Fleck because he's going back on his word of, you know, punishing Demry Croft, he's set for a month.
I think the lesson to be learned here now, if you're P.J., is because I did have people saying, well, did he kick Croft off the team? I think you could have probably said, the kid made a mistake. We need to address that, which they did do. But ultimately, we're here for the kids. Just give the spiel a little bit differently because it came off so tough that I think it created some confusion where people thought that Croft was booted off the team.
Come on! Football!
My football observations take us to actually the courtroom. This news got buried yesterday because so many things happened on the field. But Colin Kaepernick has filed a grievance against the NFL for, just to summarize, essentially colluding to keep him out of the league. And all he really has to do to prove his case, everyone's wondering, oh, how do you prove it?
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is show them the box score of the Cleveland Browns Houston Texans game, where Kevin Hogan, on a quarterback starved team for 25 years, Kevin Hogan throws 3 interceptions. And it took him 37 passes to get to 140 yards in a blowout loss on the road. Colin Kaepernick is one of the probably 30 best quarterbacks in the league, but for sure one of the 60 best quarterbacks in the league. If guys like Kevin Hogan are getting run for 3 hours, it's absurd.
Exhibit 1? I like it. Yeah, it's probably very true.
Football.
Observation number 2 comes with a question since I was at the Vikings game on Sunday, and that is, what in the name of you-know-what happened to the Chiefs? Now the Steelers play the Chiefs tough, so I get that. I'm not shocked that the Steelers won, despite the fact that KC was 5-0 going into that game. But the statistic that stood out to me was the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, which have been playing fantastic all season long, had 6 net yards in the entire first half.
Yeah.
How do you get, when you're playing as well as that team had been playing, I understand if you lose, I understand if you have an off day or an off half, 6 net yards, though?
That's really bad. Yeah.
What the hell?
I think the Chiefs losing that game isn't that shocking, because this is what happens in the NFL. Everything trends in one direction, and fans and media get all on one bandwagon, and then everything, as a rule of thumb, regresses back to 8-8 in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Except for Tom Brady. Like, almost everything regresses back to 8-8. Not all the way back to 8-8, but close to it. And so the Kansas City Chiefs, with Alex Smith having a career year, were they really an undefeated, like, juggernaut of a team?
No, they weren't.
They're playing really well. Mm-hmm. They have a guy who is the definition of mediocrity at quarterback, who wasn't going to just become an MVP overnight. And the Pittsburgh Steelers were kind of the other way. Oh, the sky is falling. They've looked bad the last... Well, they have a Hall of Fame quarterback. They've got Antonio Brown. They have Le'Veon Bell. And they went into the game with the third best defense in the league, according to yards per play.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things, like, people were jumping off the Steelers, jumping on the Chiefs. It was going to meet in the middle at some point, and it did, although you're right.
But six yards
in the first half is pretty aggressive, yeah.
Come on! Football!
I think this team has made my football observations for a third time now, but... Can we get some recognition for the Los Angeles Rams now being 4-2 in charge in that division? Best point differential, I believe, in the entire NFC. They're right there with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They're like plus 40 on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared Goff wasn't great. It was a tough pass defense against Jacksonville there, but you have another worst-to-first situation here, somewhat near that. I think the Niners might have finished worse in that division last year, but... The Rams look like the real deal. They're 3-0 on the road, and they have something going here for the next 5 to 10 years.
And their coach McVay is what, 32 years old?
Yeah, youngest coach in NFL history.
Wow.
I think he might be even younger than that. He might be like 30 or 31. So just a shout out to the Los Angeles Rams for being probably not just a fluke team like they've been.
Football!
I will apologize to Mitch Leidner. I will not apologize to this man, at least not yet. It's one game, people. But Adrian Peterson, acquired by the Arizona Cardinals from the Saints on Tuesday, rushed for 134 yards and 2 touchdowns, gaining 47 more yards in that one game than the 87 that he had in 4 games with the Saints. It was Peterson's first 100-yard rushing game since... December 27th, 2015, yeah. When he went for 104 yards against the Giants, if I'm not mistaken, at TCF Bank Stadium. But Adrian Peterson goes to the Cardinals, and at least for one day, the 31-year-old recaptures the glory that we saw here for a long time.
Yeah, so
good for him.
Any regrets? Should the Vikings have...
Absolutely
have done more
no.
to trade for him last
no,
week?
No, absolutely not.
I'm with you.
Absolutely no.
They force-fed him the ball, and they did what they said they were going to do. I don't think he's a fit for a lot of teams, but what Arizona does, they like to throw deep. They like to set it up. They got veterans. I think he fits what they do, but he's not a fit for about 20 or 25 modern offenses.
Yes, and his biggest problem is going to continue to be this, injuries. If you feed him the ball consistently, he's going to break down.
You know, I actually think everyone talked about for years how Adrian Peterson helps quarterbacks, right? He can help elevate a mediocre or bad quarterback, and you suck that defense in. They have 23 guys in the box, right? It's like, I think that's one of the biggest myths. Adrian Peterson would make Case Keenum worse because Keenum came from a spread offense at Houston. Case Keenum set the college football Division I record for yards, overall yards, yards in a season, pass attempts, everything. It was all in a spread offense. Imagine if most of Case Keenum's snaps had to come in the I formation with Peterson 7 yards
You're
back.
One-dimensional.
Like, at least giving him a chance to play shotgun,
absolutely,
spread this thing out.
Yep.
It makes a mediocre quarterback much more comfortable scheming to his skill sets.
Yep.
And for a number of years, the Vikings weren't able to. Now, the Cardinals, it fits. You can line them up, play under center. You can play action off those formations, and we'll see if it lasts the whole season.
I'm telling you, I think his biggest problem is he's going to get hurt.
Yeah. So
he's going to break down.
Credit to him.
But
he
yeah,
has more tread on the tires than you and I probably gave him credit for. I still don't think there's any regrets if you are the Vikings, especially if Dalvin Cook was still healthy.
Oh, you made the right call. You absolutely made the right
for
call
sure.
Rick Spielman.
So if you missed it, Teddy Bridgewater, his appointment in Dallas went very well this morning. According to ESPN's Chris Mortensen, He has been cleared for takeoff, and now it just depends on what the Vikings want to do. They want to activate him from the PUP list and have him practicing this week, so we'll keep tabs on that. Courtney Cronin, in about an hour from now, will join us from ESPN.com, and she covers the Vikings beat. Actually, Ian Rappaport just tweeted, on Teddy Bridgewater post-exam today, Vikings will activate him this week or next week.
Okay.
They expect him to play this year. Amazing recovery.
I love the Vikings. There's always something good
but
or bad.
This was kind of predictable on the good horizon, right? That he was going to come back midseason.
But you know what's going to happen now? Case is going to continue to win games. And so you're going to say, okay, that's not bad. That's fine. They're in first place. And at some point in time, there's going to, on a Friday night or something, a report is going to surface. Bridgewater expected to start Sunday. And all hell's going to break loose.
And it won't be this Sunday. It won't be next. They're going to let him practice for a few weeks.
It'll be post-bye week for sure.
Yeah. Let's come back. I know you were in the stadium, and so you probably missed the broadcast.
Because
you were listening to 70,000 screaming fans, probably freezing your ass off, too, because they had the doors open.
Oh, no.
Or was the press box?
Box is very comfortable.
Yeah. Did they fan you because you were getting too hot?
I requested that, and they said no. I was very upset.
We don't like to go all in on the national cruise. Like, we're not a big, like, rip on Joe Buck show, but Tom Brenneman and Troy Aikman had a rough game, and we should point out some of those things and keep tabs more on the Vikings quarterback situation. Mackie and Judd.
Go, Pack, go! Isn't it just, like, the most heart-wrenching thing to go from, hey, guys, we're looking like a Super Bowl team if our defense can kind of clear things up, to... All right, 8-8. That's about as good as we're gonna get, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that is just what a whirlwind, and I am devastated. And God, I'm sorry, guys. I'm devastated.
Go, Pack, go!
Mackie and Judd are back.
Here we go. We're going live right now
on 1500 ESPN.
And this portion of Mackie and Judd is sponsored by Robert W. Baird & Company.
What a catch that was. Now you see a play like that, that's what they want to see out of him. He makes a heck of a catch on this, and how about Case Keenum? Look at that grab. And a one-handed interception by Harrison Smith. Run out of bounds to the 35-yard line.
Mackie and Judd, we're just catching up on Teddy Bridgewater stuff here. Teddy Bridgewater has been cleared by doctors down in Dallas this morning, and so the Vikings can activate him for practice pretty much whenever they want. Ian Rappaport says it'll either be this week or next week.
Yep.
So what could they just leave him on the PUP all year, too? Like, if they wanted to.
Well, yeah, but if he's cleared, I think then they would there'd be a grievance filed. I mean, that would be really shady.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen. I'm just wondering about the mechanics of it.
So we keep getting notes from people. This one's from Lance. You guys are on more drugs than the broadcast crew of Sunday's game. Teddy isn't playing this year. So long as we're in the playoff hunt, Zim is never going to sign off on a glorified practice game for Teddy. Blah, blah, blah. Do these people...
That's not how they would view a Teddy game.
And do these people follow the history of this franchise? I mean, I don't mean to insult you, Lance, but Google the history of this franchise and its quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, Josh Freeman basically looked at the playbook for 5 minutes and then went into a Monday night football game for 3 hours.
Now, Lance, I'm with you. If Bradford is healthy today and Bradford is playing, I'm with you. I say the odds of Teddy playing are very, very small. But he's not, and he's probably gone. I mean, I will be more surprised if Sam Bradford plays in another game as quarterback of the Vikings than if Teddy does. Your quarterback right now is a guy signed to a one-year contract, a career backup, who is doing what I would say a nice job. But to just say there's no way Teddy's going to play, to dismiss it, I mean, we can talk about it, but to dismiss it, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's going to play this year.
I know, but there's this reaction like, no, he's not going to play.
There's two scenarios in which he doesn't play. Number one would be knee-related or something, you know, injury,
yes.
If
he can't come back.
Happens.
Absolutely.
And whatever. But he's been cleared to practice, and so if the doctors have cleared him and the surgeons have cleared him, I got to think that's a bigger hurdle to get to that point than to go from having been cleared and then, like, going from practice to game. So I think the biggest hurdle has been cleared. They've told him you can go back onto a football field.
Yeah.
So he'll play. But that would be scenario one that he doesn't, is if like the injury flares up again or something. And scenario two is also pretty unlikely. It's Case Keenum just being really good the rest of the season, uninterrupted. Uninterrupted.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't give you two or three blow-up games.
Yeah, really, really good. Because keep in mind, too, if Bridgewater comes back now and gets in a game, odds are very good that his contract is going to expire. So you need to make a decision. This is a first-round draft pick. You have two things at work here. One is the stability of this team right now. But another is the stability of your franchise going forward. And if for one second you believe that Teddy is your quarterback who you drafted in the first round, then you also owe it to your franchise for the long term to make that call. Are you really going to play Case the rest of this year and tell Teddy pretty much, hey, peace out?
Yeah, you've got Sam Munson, from our friend from Pro Football Focus, who's a regular guest on the show going back a number of years. He just tweeted, he took the words out of my mouth with this tweet. The Vikings quarterback situation is going to be so interesting going forwards because they need to have an idea of what rebuilt Teddy is beyond this year.
Right.
So that's a top priority along with winning games. And if Case Keenum, even at his best, is kind of a league average quarterback. So it's not like you even lose that much if you start Bridgewater and he's not that good. It ain't like you're benching Aaron Rodgers for Teddy Bridgewater. You're benching a league average quarterback and you're putting in another guy who before the injury was a league average quarterback with more upside than Case Keenum. So,
but you have to. But there's a very good chance that if you're the Vikings, you're going to come to the conclusion that you have to find that out.
Yeah, and they're going to, and they should. I know you were in the press box yesterday, so you didn't get to hear the actual broadcast.
Yeah.
And we do Vikings Vent Line in the studio, and so Superstar, Manny Hill, myself, Jonathan Harris, and we all hang out, we watch the game, and we have some laughs and a good time on the TCL TV. Well, I don't like ripping on national announcers as much because Joe Buck gets a bad rap because he was irrational one time 12 years ago, and I think it's really common to rip on the national guys for not liking your team, and I don't like that thread of sports talk. But yesterday, that Fox crew, and that's supposed to be their number one crew. It's Troy Aikman and it's Aaron Andrews and not Joe Buck as he was doing World Series, but Tom Brenneman, and they were so lost for 3 hours. They were so lost. We were giving you some of these examples before the game, but I know there's a lot of people listening who did watch on TV. Let's just start at the beginning. So the Adam Thielen catch, from your standpoint, the Adam Thielen catch, where it was the second challenge by the Packers.
Yes, he had won the
first one. Didn't have the broadcast on, right? So you didn't get you were just interpreting on your own, watching the replay in the press box.
Absolutely.
What did you think just watching the replay without any influence from the broadcast team?
Bad challenge and definitely catch.
Yeah, like knee-jerk bad challenge. Oh my God, the Vikings are going to try and run a play, so I have to throw the challenge flag. Bad challenge. Mm-hmm. And they had already won their first challenge, so if they just pause for a second and save that challenge for a future time, but it was both feet down, it was a forearm down.
It was a hand down, it was
a
lot of body parts hit in play. Yeah.
Mike Pereira, who is usually really good,
yep.
Mike Pereira gets, they bring him in, and they're kind of speculating, did he get a foot, one foot down? And Mike Pereira came to the conclusion that, well, the hand coming down is doesn't really matter. You know, it's only 1 foot, and he just botched the whole thing and had to apologize on Twitter 10 minutes later for not seeing the initial foot down when he caught the pass and whatever. So that starts off.
Okay.
The second one, at the end of the first half, if you remember, the Vikings were driving past midfield, but they weren't quite to field goal range yet.
Mm-hmm.
They had timeouts left, and the clock was ticking. They had at least one timeout left. And they ran a third down play. There was a bunch of penalties, and they were backed up. They ran a third down play. And the clock was ticking. It was like a 15-yard gain or something. And the clock was ticking from 15 seconds. And it's 4th and 25 now. And Tom Brenneman was incredulous. Tom Brenneman was ripping Mike Zimmer as the clock was ticking. Why would you not call a timeout in this spot? How could you? You got timeouts. Why are they letting the clock? And they let it run down to 3 seconds and they call a timeout.
Yeah.
And you thought, okay, first of all, like, play this out in your head. You need to be educating the audience right now. 15 seconds to go. If you call a timeout on 4th and 25, what happens? Well, I guess you could throw a Hail Mary. It's incomplete. And now the Packers have the ball at the 50-yard line.
I was going to say,
With, let's say, 8 seconds to go, they run a play quick. They get into field goal range.
We would have ripped them up and down today.
Correct.
For that.
If you panic and call timeout with 15 seconds left and punt, now you give them a punt return and maybe even a play if they want to run a play, which they might not, but there's no reason not to just let it run down. And you thought, okay, here's Troy Aikman to save the day. He's going to explain why.
Right.
Nope. Troy Aikman either thought it was second or third down. Aikman starts ripping on the Vikings. Well, why wouldn't you run a quick pass play, gain an extra 5 or 6 yards, get into field goal range for Kai Forbath? This doesn't make any sense to me. Hello? It's 4th and 25. Yeah, why don't you run an 8-yard out route, get out of bounds, because Kai Forbath is magnificent on 5th down field goals.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's crazy.
Like, what in the world? And then you thought, okay, these guys must just be, they must be out of sorts. Maybe it's a new producer or something. Second half rolls around.
I don't think
Second
so.
Second half rolls around.
Yeah.
And the Packers are out of challenges because they already used two. Mm-hmm. They only got one turned around.
So you don't get the third.
You have to get the first two. This has been a thing for like 15 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
You got to get the first two correct, and then you get a third bonus challenge.
Right.
So the little screen bubble pass, whatever, to Jerick McKinnon on that third down play, and the ball clearly hits the turf, but the refs didn't see it. They were boxed out. And so Jerick McKinnon runs for a first down. And, I mean, everyone watching thought, well, that's, if you had a challenge, it'd be nice to use it here because you'd obviously get that play turned around.
Yep.
And so for the next 10 minutes, Tom Brenneman and Troy Aikman ripped Mike McCarthy up and down, the Packers. Why would you not challenge? This makes no sense. This would be an easy play to challenge this. And finally, like 10 minutes later, someone got in their ear, or it was at least one commercial break, maybe even two. And they finally came back to that play and did the replay and said, yeah, well, if you challenge twice and only get one turned around, then you don't get the third challenge. And it's like, you guys,
yeah, that's
what are we doing here?
Been around for a while.
This is the number one game on the number one network.
You know what they did?
You guys are just,
you know what they did, boys? They left Viking fans longing for Joe Buck. That's what they did.
Yes.
After all of these years, Viking fans probably said, give us Joe. We'll take him.
Yes. So I hate it when people irrationally just get upset with Joe Buck because he's rooting for the other team, which is never the case. But these guys were so bad for 3 hours. It deserves at least some spotlight attention.
How did Aikman end up being that bad, though?
A CTE?
A lot
I don't
of
know.
Injuries, Judd.
Yeah. You might not be wrong. I mean, Brenneman, I'm not super shocked by what you're telling me. Aikman, though, that's really disappointing.
Let's see. I would think that a seasoned veteran spotter like Dave Harrigan would have at least jotted a note down and handed it to the guys.
I would have taken the mic. Tom, I got this, okay?
The Packers are out of challenges,
yes.
Buddy. Yeah. Like, couldn't you just write a note? You've spotted for an NFL game before.
Hell yeah, I have.
Couldn't you write on a notepad, out of challenges?
You could do that very easily, yes.
I blame the spotter for this yesterday.
I talked to the guy who actually spotted for the Packers broadcast yesterday, and he said that last year he got one spot wrong, and let's just say the dagger didn't handle it well.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
Larrivee turned around and got really mad. And their view is not great. And so my guy who was spotting for him said, Wayne, you're looking at the same thing I am. I just messed up. I guess the dagger had to apologize.
Whoa.
Felt bad about it.
Was that the dagger for that spotter's career too?
He was back yesterday. Wayne had him back.
Okay. Who is this guy? Do we know him?
I'm not going to reveal his name. I'm not going
to
break confidences.
Is he local?
He
or travel with
he's from the state.
Oh, I'm very curious.
Is he someone that Dave and I know?
You know him, I think. Dave does not know him. Very good spotter.
Really?
Gets a lot of work, Dave. You might want to talk to him.
I mean, I might want to take him out.
You might want to talk to him. You might want to find out how he gets all these gigs.
I mean, I can go Larry McCarron. Go, yes!
I still think that's the greatest idea. The spotter. Yes, go!
I did it.
Whatever. There's still some skepticism over that.
Well, you can be skeptical all you want.
Do you have some stuff coming up for us next?
And then the team moved.
I have a couple other great play-by-play guys having some issues. We've got some college football and plenty of hardball to get to with NLCS controversy.
They need it now.
Mackie and Judd now continue.
They want it now.
On 1500.
Get it on.
ESPN.
All you have to do is take a minute. Just take your time. The clock is ticking. So stay. All you have to do is wait a second.
Woo!
What's going on right now in there?
I refuse to play the open until I put my name back in it. I don't know.
I like it. Yes. Hold out.
Were you
hitting the head yesterday during a football game? There we go.
I don't like apples. Stuff you should know about. Sponsored by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor.
Totally thrown off by the start of stuff right now.
I have been. It's all my fault. I've ruined everything. But luckily, we're almost at 11 o'clock here. We're about a half hour shy, and that means we're almost at halftime of the Mackie and Judd Show. Dick Stockton, what's coming up?
Kirk Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points. Well, sometimes young offensive tackle...
Play it again if you can. Play it again.
Did you miss it, Judd? Dick Stockton.
He's reading a promo.
No, I know.
What's coming up at the half?
Kirk Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
Yeah. No, I got it.
Well, he went
Ron Burgundy. Didn't know. And then didn't look on the graphic. Or the graphic was gone by the time.
It was up. It was up. He just realized what he was doing. Like, well, I've already gone too far down the river.
Oh, man. It would be funnier if he... Well, I don't know. I feel bad for him.
I don't know that it can be funnier.
No, don't BASF that one. That was good.
I didn't. I feel bad for him.
No, I know. We're saying you said it'd be funnier if. And no, it would be perfectly funny the way that
no,
it is.
No, that's fine.
And there was the Sunday night game.
I mean, let's face it, the Giants are coming off a worse week than Harvey Weinstein. And they're up by 14 points. Back in Denver. Sorry, I made a reference earlier before. Tried to be a little flip about somebody obviously very much in the news all over the country. And was not meant in that manner. So my apologies. And we'll just leave it at that.
Do we really?
That was really uncomfortable.
Do we really need to apologize for that? I get the fact that some people might have been offended by it, but are we really at a point where you need to apologize for that line? It's not that funny.
Well, if the apology sounds like that, too, it's obvious that someone has nudged him to apologize.
Nudged.
Right.
Somewhat forced.
Right.
I just, you know what? Okay, he said it. You might not like it. Let's just move on, though.
How do you think that conversation plays out behind the scenes? Like, does an executive producer get in his ear? Does the director get to him?
One of the top people would have to with him, too. You'd have to have
Does he get a text from a suit or something?
Oh, that's very possible. Yeah, it's very possible. But do we have to be... Does everything have to, if we don't like it, have to be apologized for?
Well, how about this question? Who did have a worse week? Harvey Weinstein or the New York Giants?
Oh, the Giants. The Giants did.
The Giants came out with a win.
No, but the
no,
week
leading up to that.
But
line.
The week last week, come on, Giants had a terrible week.
It was not a good week for a couple college football teams in the top 10. You had Clemson going to lose at Syracuse. I know Washington, the number 5 team, lost to Arizona.
Yep.
And then there was the number 8 team, Washington State. They lost on the road at Cal. They got worked over by Cal, 37-3. And our guy, Mr. Leach, postgame.
Like, it's somewhere where you're searching for bright spots. There's no bright spot. We're pathetic. You know, we're a bunch of pathetic front runners. Because their guys played hard and ours didn't, and that's where it all starts. Their effort far overshadowed ours. They're terrible. They're terrible. What game did you watch?
I love it. Like, the media is trying to prop up the team for no reason. The coach is burying the team, and the media is like, well, the coach and the special teams. Hey.
I love this guy.
He's the best.
He is. He is. He's so good. We were awful.
All right, let's talk baseball. Let's start with last night because it was the most recent. Game 2 NLDS. 2 outs, bottom of the 9th, tie ball game.
Turner with a fly ball to center field. It's way back at the wall. A 3-run walk-off home run for Justin Turner. The Dodgers are up 2-0, and they are going crazy.
And now let's rip Joe Maddon for bringing in John Lackey to serve that up. Pitching for the first time in his decade and a half career, 2 days in a row because you couldn't bring the closer in. What?
We need him for the save tonight. There was limited. He had limited pitches. It was one inning only. In these circumstances, you don't get him up and then don't get him in. So if we had caught the lead, he would have pitched.
Come on. Defend that brilliant manager, boys. You love him.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, that was weird. Definitely, I'm going to go with Dave on this one. My guy Joe Maddon goes down a notch. Now, he half explained it in that Wade Davis threw almost 50 pitches for the first time in his, at least, reliever career a couple nights ago, so like 3 nights ago. So for him to be a little bit questionable, is he back? But if he's available to use, and the game is on the line in that spot.
It is odd.
And John Lackey has never pitched back-to-back before.
Yep.
I don't know. Hey, although as John Lackey would say, one out closer to the beer, right? One out closer to the beer, baby.
Do you know who I blame?
Yeah, who do you blame?
I do not blame Joe. I blame Theo. The 2017 Cubs do not have a bullpen built for the playoffs. When John Lackey has to come in, when you have to bring John Lackey into that game, I blame the personnel decisions. That's what I blame.
I think the point is you didn't have to bring John Lackey in, Joe. I think you're missing that.
No, but if you look at a team like the Yankees, what do they have? They have a long line of guys who can handle that.
You're right.
Not just one guy.
Yes, that's true.
That's why I'm blaming the Cubs for not having more guys on board who can handle the situation.
Fire Theo?
I'm just saying, if you look at the Cubs' bullpen, it leaves Maddon in a tight situation. Sticky wicket.
Too bad he didn't have a lights-out closer he could have gone to at that spot in the game,
right?
Yeah,
it's a shame. Yeah.
Theo Epstein needs to get him a guy like Wade Davis that he can bring in against the Dodgers.
He needs two more Wade Davises.
Well, you could just use the one you have.
You could just not wait till you have a lead, you know, and preserve
someday
the game.
Someday you guys will
so
get it, but right now
lead.
You do not understand baseball right now. In 2017, you don't understand bullpen construction like I do. You don't see it as clearly as I do.
Let's talk about understanding baseball in 2017, shall we?
Let's get into it.
Shall we go back to Saturday night?
I want part of this.
Oh,
yes!
I was so incensed, I even had to send out a tweet telling Ron Darling to shut up.
Justin Turner, and a base hit. Culberson is going to try to score. Throw to the plate, one hop in, the tag, he is out at the plate.
Did he have the ball in his glove when he blocked the plate, which is illegal now?
He did not. So an amazing athletic play by Wilson Contreras, and Schwarber has a chance to be taken away because of the silliest of rules. I mean, I think this is going to be taken away from the Cubs and Contreras, and I hate it.
Every old school catcher who ever played this game
just shut the TV off.
In their mind
just
right
shut
now.
The TV
and now
off.
Madden's been thrown out.
It's a bad rule. It's always been a bad rule, and it rears its ugly head in the first game of the championship series.
First Joe Maddon post game after the controversy at home plate that got him tossed.
I saw a great baseball play. I could not disagree more with the interpretation of that rule. However, I will defend the umpires. The umpires did everything according to what they've been told, but I, from day one, have totally disagreed with the content of that rule. I think it's wrong. I think there's anybody that's played Major League or even Minor League Baseball will agree with me 100% on that. That was a beautifully done Major League play all the way around that gets interpreted. Kind of like it's tantamount to the soda tax in Chicago.
Okay, what is the exact letter of the law? So you can't, obviously, the spirit is you're not supposed to block home plate anymore so that catchers don't get trampled.
Yes.
So if you catch a ball, so you can't block the plate unless you have the ball, or you can't block the plate, period. What is the exact letter of the law?
Can't block it if you do not have the ball. If you have the ball, you can be anywhere.
You can move,
There's a little bit of leeway if the throw takes you into the baseline, which it didn't in this case. But that, I think that's the only leeway.
And so because Contreras had his foot planted in front of home plate as the ball was still coming in, he's deemed to have been blocking the play.
He dragged it over as the ball was coming to block the play.
Yep.
It was a beautiful baseball play. Madden's right. It was gorgeous. These are million-dollar paid adult professional athletes who, oh, God forbid, his foot got in the way of the plate.
It was a,
Ron Darling's right.
It was a beautiful play that was executed and called correctly.
Yes.
And what Ron Darling and Joe Maddon and everyone else who criticizes it isn't saying is it wouldn't have been a beautiful baseball play 4 years ago because Culberson would have trucked the catcher.
That's
he
true.
Wouldn't have gone in sliding. He would have given him a concussion.
And if that had happened, I would have cried tears of joy for a real baseball collision at home plate.
Oh, we're taking away this beautiful part. No, you're not. He would have trucked him.
You know what, though? You can't assume that because there's a very good chance on that exact play in the old days, backdoor Randy Bush slide. So you tag the plate with your hand, with your left hand, going around the catcher and the backside of that play altogether. You can't assume that there would have been a collision, but if there had been, I would have cried tears of joy.
What Dave's saying, I agree with Dave in that.
I see what he's saying.
He's saying
just can't
that like
it.
if that's a bad interpretation or a bad rule, okay, but like that play would have played out differently under the old rules. Dave's right. In that situation, with World Series tickets on the line, you're trucking the catcher in that situation.
You see, I disagree because
to win a game?
I disagree because unless Contreras was going to set up to block the plate, the way that he went about blocking it was with his foot. So you would actually slide around that and go through the back door and tag the play.
Dave, no one knows more about baseball in 2017 than Judd.
Yeah,
it's hard to argue him
beyond
this point.
You guys will understand the game as it exists right now. But until then, just follow me and I will lead the way.
As a guy who scored many, many 7th grade baseball games in junior high, Judd Zolgad has seen more than his fair share of plays.
And I closed my eyes and swung, okay? Get off my back.
Oh, man. Let's come back more on the Vikings' ever-evolving quarterback situation. Teddy Bridgewater, the appointment went well this morning. We'll come back to that. Courtney Cronin from ESPN.com covers the Vikings 11:15. It is Mackie and Judd.
Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
Is it for charity at all?
Not that I know of. It's just somebody decided it would be fun.
Mackey and Judd.
It's like a clown car, but much smellier.
On 1500 ESPN. You just
And this portion of Mackie and Judd is brought to you by Fred Aloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Stores, proud sponsor of The Beer Show.
Thank you, David. And yes, you're answering people's tweets on this. We will take your Vikings and or Packers phone calls. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. What do you think of that bar hit on Aaron Rodgers? What do you think about
Teddy.
The state of the Vikings quarterback situation.
I was going to say, that's going to be the big talker. I'm already seeing plenty of tweets about this, about the Bridgewater factor, which won't impact the team, but will be intriguing, the fan factor, because a lot of people love this guy. And so it's going to be...
I think the locker room loves him,
well,
too.
Well, I think they probably do. But my point is, it's not going to take a lot of case being case for people to say, okay, time to make the change. This is not going to be a long, drawn-out, well, but we really like Case. This is going to be, Teddy's back. Let's play him. So it's going, the fan, I think the fan reaction is pro-Teddy right now, and it's going to be play him pretty quickly.
651-646-8255. Tim, you're on the show.
Hey, guys. Judd actually just brought up a good point I was calling in on. I've never seen a player, specifically a Vikings quarterback, that's gotten so much blind fan love for no real reason. I mean, I'm part of the boat too. Like, I want this guy playing. I want him back ASAP, but I'm not really sure what it is about him that makes me trust in him so much and root for him. Maybe it's just because he seems like a really good guy. And
yeah.
Well, when he played for us, he was pretty effective. I remember he had some big games against Atlanta and some good divisional games, but I don't know. It's something exciting about having him back that I just want him out there and playing as soon as possible.
I think it's two things. Likeability is important, and people like this kid. But I think the most important one is this, potential. Fans love potential. And keep in mind, it's an exhibition game, but the last time we saw this guy play quarterback last year was the Chargers game at home, and he was fantastic. And I think the one thing in life that you always look at and say is, if there's potential there, let's see it. Sports fans love that. So I think it's those two combined. But the most important one to me is there's still that potential of this guy was a first-round draft pick, played pretty well in 2015, and we all expected 16 to be that year.
And Tim, his name is Teddy. If his name was Frank or Bob, his name is Teddy. How can you not love a guy named Teddy, Tim?
I mean, what's your potential, though, Phil? Because, I mean, I don't see a lot of upside there, you know?
My potential or Teddy's potential?
Phil's your potential.
Oh, my potential is very low. In fact, I think I've probably already hit my peak about 4 years ago.
It's past, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Let's take one more call here because we're kind of up against the clock. But we can take more in the top of the 11 o'clock hour, 651-646-8255. Charlie, you're on with Mackie and Jed.
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, here's my take on the whole Bradford, Bridgewater, and Case thing. You know, I think I hope Bridgewater comes back. You know, does pretty well. But you know, Bradford, we've seen glimpses of this guy being. He'll have a game where he looks like Joe Montana, and why does he have that? Well, he's got all his weapons around him. You know, he's got his running back, his receivers. And he throws for 300 yards and three TDs. If any one of those elements are not there, he's just absolutely dreadful. And, you know, we can't, and he's had consistently, you know, he's been hurt and he's got a long history of being, you know, injuries. I just hope I never want to see the guy take another snap. I think Case has done a great job. He's more mobile. You know, he can make some passes. He's not a franchise quarterback, but he does pretty well for what he's got. That's what I got.
Yeah, those are valid points, Charlie. And I would even add to that. I think I would quantify the Vikings quarterback or size it up or measure it up like this. Sam Bradford, when healthy and like everything you said, Charlie, if he has all of the necessary skill position players and a good offensive line and his knees feeling good, he's fragile Matt Ryan. He's a top 10-ish quarterback, and he can look like one of the best quarterbacks in the league any given week if all the things are propped up for him. I think Case Keenum is sort of he's like the Ryan Fitzpatrick, where he's going to make some big plays, he's going to throw some interceptions, he's not going to be very precise and surgical, but you could get away with him for a while if you have other components.
But he doesn't embarrass you, which is okay. I mean,
yep, and Ryan Fitzpatrick,
yes, doing well.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick will embarrass you with five picks. Case Keenum has only done that a couple times, but he'll give you like. Case Keenum will give you the shipwreck performance in different ways that you haven't seen yet with the Vikings.
I was going to say, I get the feeling that this is going to work for a while. I also get the feeling that we are going to get to a game probably against a pretty good defense where the slipper is going to have to be returned. And that's where you're going to run into the, what do we do now? Do we play Teddy? If you look now, the Vikings play at US Bank Stadium next Sunday against Baltimore. They then go to England to play. They then have a bye. They then return to the States and play three more games the rest of the season at home, including a three-game road trip. You get the feeling that somewhere probably in that road trip, there's going to be a Keenum game. And when that happens, the fan base, and probably more importantly, the team, is all going to say, really? That's it? Because that's when we're all going to come to the conclusion that if this team has a chance to not only win the division and go to the playoffs, but advance, that he's not going to be the guy. We're sitting here today, much like the Tampa Bay game, Phil. We're sitting here today and talking about a performance that wasn't great, but it was good enough, but it was also against a very depleted defense. When we're talking about a road game against a defense that's not depleted, I think the look could be very different.
We can take more of your opinions and feedback on the Vikings quarterback situation, just anything you saw in that game yesterday. If you were annoyed by the Fox announcers like we were, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Dan is first off when we get back here. Mackie and Judd.